Hey everyone, you're watching Pipe Dummies on CigarFederation.com, January 5th, 2016, ringing in the new year with the Bull Shark and the one and only motherfucking Moonbeam. How's it going, fellas?
Oh, Moonbeam. God, I knew I should have told that story from day one.
That's a great story, though.
Something said go ahead and tell it, but yeah, maybe I should have left that one out.
No, man. This ish smells phenomenal. So tonight, we're going to be taking a look-see in part four of our Dunhill series, some early morning Pippa. And the Bull Shark over there has got a chubby the size of Texas. As you notice, he's already lit his bowl in his Sir Jocko or whatever the hell he's smoking and just going raging on it.
That's my Dagner.
Your Dagner. Oh, yeah. Well, before you guys do it, how was your Christmas? Because I got a couple of fun stories to tell, but I'll let you guys go first.
Mine was out of sale. I spent most of mine in shorts and flip-flops.
You get anything good for Christmas? I saw you were hanging out with the wifey, which was cool.
Yeah, she came home for 2 weeks, thank God. That was nice. Yeah, it was pretty hectic because, when she got home, I was able to actually finish some of the Christmas decorations. And then my son had a little, Christmas thing play or whatever at the school we had to go do. And then my mom's 70th birthday, she was actually born on New Year's Eve. So her 70th birthday was this New Year's Eve. So we threw a party for her. And she's not one for parties or making a fuss. So
sounds like my kind of woman.
Oh, yeah. And I did get this for Christmas.
Oh, dude, a little Savinelli author, eh?
Yeah, this thing is phenomenal, dude.
Smokes good?
Oh, yeah, this thing smokes great.
Really?
I haven't even broke it all in yet. I've only had three bowls because I'm breaking it in with a straight Virginia, some golden sliced.
Right.
And it's smoking great, like just as it is. I really like it a lot.
That's funny because I have that blue Obi-Wan Kenobi author from Savinelli.
Sweet.
I know you love that pipe, Jared. Maybe we'll trade it one day. But I think it smokes like absolute crap.
Really?
And Jared was there to witness me smoking it and talking about how much I hated it. But luckily, I got it from my Italian friend on eBay, so I only spent like $60 or whatever. So it was
that thing looks legit.
It's legit. Well, that's cool. So Bull Shark, you got a Savinelli. Anything else?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, just little stuff. That was the big thing. It's kind of neat. She was actually going to, she said she's going to buy me an, y'all seen those, Om Paul pipes?
I've heard
They're real
them.
Crazy looking, kind of go down real far. And it's, they kind of, they got like a little, something like a valve in the back. I didn't really read what it's for, but Savinelli makes one.
Oh, really?
And she's actually looking at it on Amazon to buy it for me for Christmas. And, I thought that's pretty badass looking, but she said she heard me talking about that 320 size or the style, whatever. And she said, well, I know you wanted that one, so I just went ahead and got you that one. I was like, shit, that would have been cool to have one of those weird ass pipes too, because I've never really seen anybody smoking one. But I don't even have made one of them, but apparently they do, and it's pretty popular. But yeah, I'm super happy with this too. What's kind of cool was, if you notice, a lot of pipes now, they come with that pre-carbonized bowl, that coating inside of them. This one didn't have that. It was just all natural.
Really? Because my author was not. I had the pre-carbonized black bowl in it.
Uh-huh. I wonder if that's the difference.
Maybe. Is my camera going in and out?
Yes, you are in and out, Logan. I was going to tell you that.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, but your video is going in and out.
I know, I've noticed that.
Right now you're just the SigFed logo, but in the bottom you're your face, but actually you're the same face you've been the whole time, so yeah, your camera's locked up. So of course she called that out too.
Oh, well, thank you. Was that Gerlot?
No, Shooter.
Oh, thank you, Shooter. So Gerard, what did you get for Festivus?
The Festivus for the rest of us?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to. I don't think I got anything tobacco related. What did I? I'm trying to think what I got now. Even it feels like it was months ago. Honestly, can't remember because I told Tina to quit buying me presents because after everything was bought for Connor and her, I said, you know what? Just stop buying me things. Let's just leave it at everybody else and call it quits. And my present to me will be that we quit spending money right now. Right meow.
Right meow. Right meow. Meow. I love that movie.
Win? Meow.
I love that fucking movie. So that's cool. So here's my story. So I was taking the family in the 2010 Toyota Corolla, which I might add was a wonderful vehicle and paid off. It was great. Not a lot of miles. We were going about 80 miles an hour, about 15 miles outside of Midland, Texas. And fucking I look up and then boom, hit a fucking deer. Airbags deployed, side airbags. I get popped in the face. I don't know if you've ever had an airbag deploy and hit you in the face. That shit will disorient the shit out of you. Like, it hit me and I was like car filled with smoke. So, like, I'm like freaking out. Like, I can't see the road. I don't know what happened. So, luckily, I get the car pulled over and basically the car's filled with smoke. And Allie's like, what happened? I go, I think we hit a deer. I think the car's on fire. So, like, because, you know, Allie's CIA father-in-law is, you know, a big guy on, like, preparedness. He had one of those, what you call them, like a chisel punch thing in case Allie ever drove her car off a bridge. So that way she could, you know, break the window, you know, equalize the pressure and swim out. Well, dude, like, I thought the car was on fire. I mean, I couldn't get my seatbelt off. I thought I was about to be consumed by fire. So, like, I literally start reaching for this punch. And I'm getting ready to swing this motherfucker at the window. And Allie's, like, outside the car window tapping on it, going, Logan, what are you doing? I go, the car's on fire. She goes, no, the car's not on fire. And it's one of those things where I kind of came to and I realized that I was kind of in the car by myself, thinking the car was on fire. So needless to say, the airbag will disorient you a little bit, just a tad. But yeah, so that was wonderful. I'll spare you all the details. Ricky, Bobby. What?
I said, all right, Ricky, Bobby.
I mean, that's kind of what I felt like there for a little bit. So needless to say, car is totaled. Got a new 2016 Ford Escape. It's wonderful. And we were supposed to fly back to Missouri to see my parents and fly out of Lubbock like 2 days after Christmas. And Lubbock apparently got the blizzard of a century, got a foot and a half to 2 foot of snow, and got 7 foot drifts up over Allie's parents' house almost. And they were snowed in for almost a week.
Wow.
Awesome.
And it's hot down here, so yeah, can't even fathom it.
I mean,
snow?
Dude, Midland, Texas is only 5 hours away. It's not that far. And it's not even really up. It's more kind of over. And from Austin.
Well, west, jeez.
Yeah, kind of. And they got like 6 to 8 inches of snow. And we didn't get shit. It was like 50 degrees here. It was so strange. So anyways, that's my story. Oh, and I got myself, I've already bought this.
I think we lost you.
Am I still here?
Audially, you're here, but visually, you're just the sig fed.
You're breaking up really bad.
Really?
Really? He's fine on my side.
All right, well, someone else talk then.
Let's kick off the year in style, right? Let's go.
Yeah. So anyway, so I got our boy Ben got me back my 68 Dunhill. This thing is looking right, boy.
I told you.
He buffed out all the oxidation, or he did something, dude. It looks like a brand new pipe.
He's awesome.
It's fucking beautiful. So tonight, we're smoking some early morning Pippa, and it's someone correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't really know much about pipes, but it's more or less the Connecticut of pipe tobacco, where your nightcap from Dunhill is more of like your stronger cigar, maybe like a Romacraft Aquitaine or a LFD Double Ajero, stronger in strength, more in your face, bolder. Well, the early morning pipe's more like a Connecticut. But although it makes up, actually it has a lot of the similar ingredients as early morning pipe. I mean, it's got Latakia, Oriental, and Turkish in Virginia. So it has pretty much the same ingredients. But when I opened the tin, I'm curious to see what you guys smelled. When you opened your tin, what did you smell? It was very strange to me.
Well, hold on. Shit, I don't remember. I didn't even sniff it.
Very potent. I'm surprised.
I didn't think it was potent at all.
Really?
No, it's not.
It smelled like grass. It literally smelled like fucking grass.
To me, it smells like smoky hay. Like hay that's been, that was a hay bale that was sitting next to a forest fire or something.
I'll go sweet smoky hay. I get a sweetness out of it, but I can see the smokiness hay and the hay together.
That's a new nickname.
Hey, baby, what do they call you? They call me White Lightning. They call Ben Sweet Smoky Hair. And they call Jared motherfucking Moonbeam.
They almost did. If it wasn't my mom stopping it.
I mean, was it like a joke? Was it your dad's like sense of humor? Or?
Apparently it was totally serious, and more than likely I would have been an 80s cover rock band because that's the only thing I could do called Moonbeam.
But what, let me just ask you, I know we always talk about this, but like, let's just pretend for a second you weren't Jared. You were motherfucking Moonbeam.
And I would have to be motherfucking Moonbeam. I wouldn't be
Moonbeam. No, you'd be motherfucking MF and Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Now, in high school, I could see it'd be kind of cool because everyone would give you a nickname, maybe in college too. But like when you enter the workforce, would you change your name? Like what would have been your cover name? Like I know you probably would have changed your name knowing you. Would you have been something, something, Moonbeam Johnston? But would it have been Jared, or would you have done something else? What would have been your name if it would have been Moonbeam?
Ooh. I would have been Jared just because I don't know that that's a name I would have picked out of the air there.
So that just goes to show you, everybody, that's Jared's personality right there. He could have picked everything under the sun, but he picks Jared. Your dad would have been better picking Moonbeam. Is there a story behind that? Like, was there like an experience, like an out-of-body peyote experience he had with Moonbeam, or was it just a name he liked?
I think it was just 1979, and he thought that was pretty cool.
How old was he?
I understand that's all I've got. How old was he?
Yeah.
In 79, see, he died in, what is that, 2011 at 58? What was he trying to think? Trying to make me do math here.
Been like 29. Would have been 19.
No, he wouldn't have been that young. Let's see.
Someone get out the calculator.
That's what I'm doing. Minus 32. You've been 26.
I mean, I guess that's young enough.
Yeah, yeah. You're still pretty young. I don't know. He was just like that, I guess. He liked Moonbeam. He thought that was cool for a name. I guess in September of 1979, he figured that would be a pretty sweet way to go with it.
Pretty bitchin' name, Moonbeam.
But he was overruled, and now you have me.
You have not as cool Moonbeam. That's fucking
crazy. Motherfucking would have been Moonbeam.
Would have been Moonbeam. I'm really pissed off my camera's not working, but that's okay. I have a face for radio anyways.
Apparently. The chat room is pretty thankful to not see your face.
Yeah, they can all fuck themselves. So, Ben, what do you think about the Pippa so far?
I like it. I mean, we've talked about this off air a lot. This is one of my staples, and I've kind of drifted away from it a little bit lately. But when I first started smoking pipes, I always had this constantly in my rotation. It's kind of a nice, very simple, light English blend. No, it's not a whole lot going with it, you know, going on with it. It's just a little sweet, a little smoky. No, it's about it. There's not a whole lot going on with it, but it's just a good, you know, very light body English blend. It's just really enjoyable. And I mean, especially in the early morning, It's perfect. It's perfect for the morning time. I love it.
It is really light. I'll agree with that. Like, I mean, a lot of the, and I like Nightcap, but like a lot of that heaviness that you get, you don't get that mouth funk, and it is light. Like, it almost feels like I'm smoking air. Like, there's not a lot of heaviness, like, falling down on my palate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real light. I mean, you really can smoke this any time of the day, but when it's early, when it's early morning, it's just, to me, it's just a medium to low on the nicotine, on the body, everything about it. You know, it's just real easy going. So it goes well with the morning coffee. I know that.
Like, and speaking of tongue bite, it's hard to get tongue bite off an English blend, but it can be done. But I always, when I smoke, when I drink a lot of sweet tea for, you know, good, smoke a lot of cigars, neutralize some nicotine. But I've noticed that when I drink sweet tea with anything and smoke a pipe, it fucks my tongue up bad.
You know, I hadn't really noticed that. I guess because I really don't, like with cigars, it's almost like you're expected to pair the cigar with some kind of beverage, you know? And I'm like you, I'm a Southerner, so sweet tea is usually my go-to, or, you know, bourbon or something like that. But like with pipes, I mean, usually I just pair it with water, but I haven't really, I don't know if I've ever paired it with sweet tea. I need to try that.
It'll get you. I don't know. I just don't think pipes pair very well with stuff. Like,
I don't think so either.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, maybe there is something out there. I mean, it'd be an interesting experiment, but
I think a good peaty scotch would go well with a lot of this.
That's probably true.
Because a lot of key is so smoky, it kind of overwhelms whatever you're drinking with it. So you would need something with enough ass to it that it could hold up to it. You know, something maybe a little smoky in itself. So yeah. A peaty scotch would work well. So I don't know.
Like a Lafroy?
Yeah, something. Oh, that would definitely hold up to a pipe. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be just so overwhelming, though?
I would think so. That stuff's, I can't tolerate much of that.
You know? I can't really do. What was that we had at your house, Jared, that I really liked?
I had Talisker. I had Talisker, and I had Glenlivet 18.
It was Talisker.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's my style. Talisker
is a nice salty, from the Isle of Skye, nice salty scotch. Good stuff. And it better be at like $70 a bottle.
And I drank all of it. No, I'm just kidding. I had like one pour. I'm not a big drinker.
I think you had one small shot.
I know. And like in Pipe Magazine, let me look it up. They have
a Pipe Magazine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome, too. It's a great, great magazine, dude. I love it. It's kind of hard to find. It comes out once a quarter. Mm-hmm. But it's an outstanding outstanding magazine, but in the back, I'm trying to remember who exactly it is that's doing the articles in the back. But basically, they take, I think it's William Surratt and somebody else. I can't think of who it is off the top of my head. But anyway, they'll take, you know, usually several tobaccos because it's like I said, it's once a quarter magazine, and they actually they both review one tobacco. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I can't remember who it is, actually says, well, this tobacco will go great with this as a pairing. You know, like one he was smoking, I don't remember the tobacco, but I just remember he said it would pair great with a Pinot Noir. I thought, holy shit, what pipe tobacco would pair well with a Pinot Noir at all, of any kind?
I think with any pipe tobacco that would go well with the wine. I mean, I'd try it, but it doesn't strike me as something that would work.
Maybe it's straight Virginia or something, but I don't remember what it was. But I just thought that's unique.
It had to be a lighter tobacco because anything too strong would just kill that.
Forgive my ignorance of wine, but I thought a Pinot Noir was red and fairly strong, right? Or is that white?
It's red, but it's more medium bodied. It's one of my favorites because it's real soft and velvety on the palate. It's pretty fruity most of the time, unless you get one from the old world, which is, it's more earthy and minerally or whatever, but mostly they're usually fruity, real soft, velvety texture on the palate. Real, really awesome wine. They pair well with a lot of great, I mean, they pair great with a lot of different foods because they're so soft. They're not so full-bodied or too light. They're kind of right in the middle. So,
yeah, see, I'm a Merlot Cabernet Sauvignon kind of guy.
What about a Shiraz?
Shiraz is really fruity most of the time.
Yeah,
fruity. But yeah, that's my style, homie.
Fruity.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Fruit Loops.
Especially if you get some from, like, you know, Australia or South Africa, they're pretty fruity. But I like them, too, because a Syrah or Shiraz, either one, it's like that is a foodie's wine, because it pairs like a Pinot. It pairs with so much stuff. It's so easy. If you want to have a meal and have a wine with it, but you don't know what, if you go with a Pinot or a Syrah, you're good to go. Most every time. 9 out of 10 times, you're good to go.
I need to restock my wine fridge. It's getting kind of slim pickings in there.
Well, I got lucky because my wife used to hate wine. Now she really likes it. She likes it a lot. So, you know, being over to Houston, we have all those HEBs over there.
Mm-hmm.
The prices of wine at HEB are unfreaking believable.
They are. And if you go six pack style, you get a discount on top of it.
One of my favorite wines is Stag's Leap Artemis. It's a Cabernet. And here, it's $56 to $60 a bottle. At HEB, if you buy a six-pack, it's $34.95 a bottle. That's like, holy shit.
I'm about to have you send me the name of that so I can go look it up. I haven't had that one that I can think of.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's my go-to. I mean, it's higher end, so it's kind of like...
Well, yeah, $30 a bottle. That's a little higher.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like I said, here it's like $50 a bottle. But like when I go, like one of my best friends, he's actually the assistant manager for Ruth Chris Steakhouse here.
And shit.
Yeah, and when I have, you know, me and my wife have a date night, or if I go there for an anniversary or something like that, my birthday, you know, they don't let you bring your wine in. Of course, I'm one of his best friends, so he'll let me bring what I want every in, because he's a sommelier too. He's actually been off to school and got certified as a sommelier. So we trade a lot of – I trade cigar knowledge for his wine knowledge. We
nice. Teach
him a lot. So we try a lot of different things, and he knows what I like. And, you know when you go to a restaurant, the markup on wine is astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
It's three times bottle price on average. So yeah, he'll let me bring in a bottle. Usually what I do is I go get Stag's Leap Artemis, and that's what I bring with me. It's amazing shit. I love it.
You know what the extent of my wine knowledge is?
Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm. No, actually, the extent of my wine knowledge is this, is that a lot of wine is actually, or grapes are actually grown in Missouri, where I'm from, a lot of French grapes. And second is that I've been to Tuscany, and all I know is that wines from Tuscany have a rooster in DOC on the label.
Right.
So when we were driving around Tuscany, all I was looking for was, black motherfucking rooster! Black motherfucking rooster! And that's how we knew where to stop for wine.
Yeah, they take those certifications in Europe.
It's pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a big deal, man. You can get shot over some shit if you mess up labeling a wine, or you try to fake it or something. Yeah. They don't play around with that. That's a big deal.
So I just dropped knowledge. You want a wine from Tuscany? Look for the black rooster and DOC on the bottle, on the label. You'll see it.
I love Italian wines. I love old world wines. You know, Italy, Spain, Portugal, France. I just prefer that style. Like when you get more new world, like over here where we're at in the United States or Australia, you know, you get they're just way more fruitier.
What about like Chilean?
Chile makes some damn fine wines. So does Argentina. I mean, they make some stuff that rivals anything coming out of Napa. I mean, some really good stuff for cheap, too. I mean, for like $15-$20, you can find some amazing stuff from Chile and Argentina.
Hmm.
Like 90 plus stuff. And that's, man, and that's what I get excited with wines. Like when I get, like I was like Stag's Leap, it's pretty high. Or like Joseph Phelps Insignia, which is like $120 a bottle or something like that.
Good love.
That's all great. But when I find that one that's like $17.99 and it's rating like 92, 93 on Wine Spectator, I'm like, yes.
So is that like the go-to? I mean, obviously there's Cigar Aficionado, and then there's others, Cigar Federation, there's others. But is Wine Spectator like the big one?
Oh, yeah, and that's – it's Marvin Shankin that runs that one too.
No fucking shit.
Yeah. Except the difference is Wine Spectator is respected in the wine community.
Do like, do they have advertising?
Oh, yeah, they do, but – dude, there's so many wines out there, and a lot of the European wine vineyards and stuff like that, they don't, or wineries, they do not advertise at all in there. I mean, mostly what you'll find in there is like Robert Mondavi or Yellowtail. You know, your stuff you see in the U.S. a lot.
Like everyday wine, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Stuff, supermarket wine. Like, we don't, here in Mississippi, it's super strict. We can only go buy wine at a liquor store. Where seriously? In Texas, yeah, in Texas or in Louisiana, you can go buy good wine at a damn drugstore or something, or a corner
grocery market. Store. Yeah.
But here you can't do that. Not at all.
Yeah, it's the same thing with liquor, too, or not?
Oh, yeah. Liquor's the same way. Only at a liquor store. That's it. So,
well, how do you define what a liquor store is? They only sell alcohol?
That's it. Nothing else. Matter of fact, damn, usually at a liquor store, they can't even sell like decanters, and they can sell wine glasses, but they can't sell like certain accessories for liquors or drinking or whatever.
That's crazy.
You have to separate that off. I know, Mississippi, dude. Mississippi. Yeah.
Then I go to Kansas, and it's like alcohol. They're open 7 days a week and buy liquor. Any day you want, you can go to the grocery store and get liquor. They don't care.
I tell you what's
even weird. Down here, it's different.
Yeah, in Starkville, where Mississippi State's at, right? The county that Starkville sits in is called Oktibbeha County. It's a dry county.
Oh, Lubbock County used to be dry.
Yeah, but Starkville is wet. But when I was there, you couldn't buy any kind of beer or liquor, or any kind of alcoholic beverage on Sunday. You couldn't buy it after midnight, and you couldn't buy beer cold. It had to be hot.
That's weird about it being hot.
Yeah. The theory was...
you won't get in your car and drink it.
Exactly.
I could have told you that, yeah. Dude, here's the fucked up one, is that Allie's family's from Lubbock, Texas, and they live in Lubbock County. And up until about, I don't know, probably 2, 3, 4 years ago, it was a dry county. So you could not buy any sort of alcohol within the county limits. But you could drink within the county. There was bars, but you can only go to places like restaurants and bars and be served beer, but you couldn't buy beer for home consumption. So there was a place that was like, I mean, Lubbock City was probably, I don't know, maybe 20 miles or so from the county line. So literally where the county line went, there was a row of liquor stores right on the other side of the county line. And I'm talking like liquor stores. I mean, Jared, you've seen Specs. You guys know what I'm talking about when you talk about Specs. Or like, what's the one in California, like a Total Wine, like those type of places? Uh-huh. These put these to motherfucking shame. And there was like 10 of them. Like there was Pinkies and there was all these places. And dude, literally you would see people drive up and load up like truck beds full of cases of beer and drive back into Lubbock. And it was funny because I was like, why do they do this? Like, I get the whole point of like, you don't want people drinking and driving, but all you're doing is putting people out on the road. Like, people are going to get alcohol regardless. Like, why don't you allow it and then just fucking tax the shit out of it like everyone else, a good American would do, and put the sin tax on it and just make a little bit of money for your county? Well, they did, and the fucked up thing, and this is a funny story about Lubbock politics, the guy who owned like 2 or 3 of those liquor stores sold out like about 6 months a year before and made a shit pile of money. And everyone's like, why'd you sell it? You got to be making like millions and millions and millions of dollars each year. And he sold it for, I mean, I don't know how much it was, but it wasn't like he didn't take him to the house. Like, it was a reasonable price for what it was. And about 6 months to a year later, they went dry. You know how many of those places are in operation right now? Zero.
Really?
Because why would you drive fucking 20 miles outside of town to get beer when you can go down to the Specs or every other thing within the city limits or at the gas station?
Wow.
You seem enthralled.
You can't, like, we in Starkville, we had this place. It was actually before even Oktibbeha.
How do you say that? Oktibbeha?
Yeah, it's Choctaw.
Indian? Choctaw, yeah. Okay.
where Mississippi State's at is Starkville. It's part of what they call the Golden Triangle.
I thought that was Oxford.
Shut your fucking mouth. Don't even play.
I didn't play. I'm being serious.
No.
I know, man. I'm just fucking. That's old news.
Look, they got the Golden Triangle. You have Starkville, a place called West Point, and Columbus. Now, Columbus was kind of the big city. Because up in North Mississippi, it's pretty much just cotton fields and other farm stuff. That's all there is. And Columbus had a huge Air Force base there. So, and that was in each city was in three different counties. Yeah, Clay, Oktibbeha, and then Lowndes County, which is where Columbus is at. Well, Lowndes County was wet.
Okay.
But they had a place. There was a big highway that there's two of them. Like Highway 45 goes up north, and 82 comes across. And right there where they met at was right at the county line, just past Oktibbeha in the Lowndes County. And they called it the Crossroads. And there used to be a little, like a beer shack right there doing the same thing. They made money hand over damn fist because everybody would come out of Oktibbeha County, go over there and buy beer, and then bootleg it basically back across. It's crazy. And they made a ton of money until Oktibbeha said they could have, you know, hot beer.
Hot beer.
Oof. Hot shit. So, Logan, jumping off that for a second because I'm getting questions. You don't have video, but it was obvious from the first little split second video you got that you're not in the cunt cave. What up?
Well, that's a funny story, Jared. And you're going to be getting a lawsuit for some faulty installation.
Oh, but come on, man.
No, I'm serious. This is something we're going to have to talk about because there's going to be an injunction. That switch that you installed for that stupid fan, that fart fan, caught on fire.
It's just got a regular switch in it.
Caught on fire.
Bull crap.
Yeah, it didn't. That's not what happened. The reason I'm not out there is twofold. One, it's been raining, and you know how wet it gets out there. And two is that it's not done because, okay, Jared, you've been to my house. How many cigar boxes, empty cigar boxes, do I have in my house?
Oh, which room?
Okay. Cigar boxes. There you go. I mean, I would put up against any normal cigar smoker that, you know, I probably have more cigar boxes than anyone. Just empties because I don't throw them away. And we do cigar chat and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. You know how big that ceiling is, Jerry, because I'm lining the ceiling with cigar boxes. I've only been able to do about 60% of it, and I ran out of boxes.
You ran out of
boxes? I ran out of motherfucking boxes.
Holy shit.
So I need – that's why I'm not in there, because I don't want to unveil the cunt cave until it's ready. So I'm going to have the store send me down, you know, a bunch of tops.
Did you say the cunt cave?
Dude, okay. So long story short – yeah, it's the cunt cave. So, you know, on your little outdoor panel switch thing, I wrote on next to the breaker, I put cunt cave. So if I ever sell this house, people are going to be like, where's the cunt at? Where's this cunt cave? And they're not going to know because it's inside that shed. So unless they're in there, they're going to have no fucking clue. Because
I made a whole new breaker for that room that's completely separate wiring from the entire house.
Wow.
So yeah, Jared.
It looks pretty sweet though. I like the way it's going.
I'm gonna be doing like a Sistine Chapel type picture. And once I get all the boxes up, I'm gonna be laying down on my back and taking a picture of the ceiling because it's gonna look fucking legit. You know how anal I am about some stuff. So I didn't want to put, you know, a foundation box next to another foundation box, or you know, I tried to mix it up, and I'm trying to use only one box or at least spread them out. And you would not believe how many different sizes cigar boxes are. Like, none of them are the same.
Oh, God, no.
It's fucking ridiculous. And it's, like, hard to pin them in because I'm, like, trying to get them to butt up next to each other real nice. And I actually think I've done a fairly good job. You know, there's been a few places where there's, like, a little small gap and stuff. But other than that, it looks looking pretty pimp. I'd like
to think. How'd you finally mount them to the wall? Did you glue them up there?
Yeah, I got some. I had to buy some more of this too. But, you know, the all-purpose Same shit we got at the store when we were there. All I'm doing is I just...
Liquid nails, didn't we?
No, it's a clear power grab. Oh, yeah. You can't see my shit.
No, we can't see you, but yeah.
I was wondering if you were trying to show us something.
I was.
I knew he was.
Dang Loctite, clear power grab, instant grab.
That's it, yeah.
No, it works fucking great. Like, I literally just put a little bead on it and throw it up and perfect. And but I've got like a whole...
Liquid nails and holds just fine.
I've got like a 20-gallon, probably like a 30-gallon, like that yellow barrel Jared that I have with busted up cigar boxes like on the side and like the sides of them in my garage that I've been using as kindling, which actually I will say, if you have a chiminea and you need some kindling, dried cigar boxes work fucking phenomenally. Just wanted to let you know.
I bet they do.
You know, it's and, dried wood. Works fucking great.
Burn great. And Cheater didn't come up with the whole thing, but I'm going to guess from what he said, we need to make a sign for your door that says no guns allowed.
Yeah, that's a long story. You were down in Nicaragua, weren't you?
Me?
Yeah, you were.
I was telling you, that's something big down here, too. He talked to it, but we knew it, yeah.
I've never heard the term. Why don't you enlighten us what a gunt is, Jared?
Well, because it's a term used quite regularly down here because we have herds of gunts down here. A gunt is when your gut hangs over your cunt. So that is a woman with a very big belly that covers up the cunt. So she's a gunt.
Wow.
And they are in high supply down here. So if you're looking for that, come down here and get them.
The supply overwhelms the demand.
Oh, I always hope supply overwhelms demand on that. If the demand for guns rises, we got some issues I don't want to know about. Some major issues.
That's a lot of good things.
It is not a good thing.
You know what? I tried to play a game, and I know Ben would probably be really good at this game. You know, I always like to try to make my wife feel like she doesn't know anything. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
I know I do. Actually, I do. But we were playing a game, and I said, Ben, and this is verbatim the conversation that we had. I said, Allie, and it's basically a game where basically okay, starting with you know, Byzantine Roman emperors, can't repeat, all have to be different. And there's a lot of choices, right? I mean, there's Hadrian, there's Vespasian, there's Trajan. List goes on and fucking on. And Ben and I could probably go back and forth for a minute doing this. And I said, Allie, you go first. And I was like, she's like, I don't know any. And I go, Allie, you got to be fucking shitting me. You don't know what? It's the first Roman emperor. She goes, what do you mean? What do you mean the first one? I go, the first one ever. You know who this is. And she's like, no, I don't. I go, there's a salad named after him. And she goes, Newman's Ode? And I start fucking hysterically laughing. And I go, no, Allie. I go, no, Allie, not Newman's Ode.
A Newman's Own salad.
I go, not Newman's Ode.
It's Cobb.
And she goes, dude, I was like,
your house.
Think of another name of salad. A salad. And then she said, Ty Cobb. And then I go, Al, are you just fucking with me? She looks at me and goes, Shaka Khan. And I'm just like, you were fucking with me, weren't you? She goes, yes, you dumbass. She's like, Newman's Own, are you fucking serious? But yeah, so that was my wife's answer. So she got Caesar, but after that she was, and then she got
Newman.
Then she got Constantine. But she said, because I was like, you know, Constantine founded Constantinople, and it was modern-day Istanbul, so she calls it modern-day Noble, because she just is an idiot. But yeah, so anybody ask you...
She couldn't get Marcus Aurelius? I mean, damn, he was in a movie, recent movie.
Dude, I don't know. And we've been to Rome. So I was like, Allie, we were at the Colosseum. I plainly pointed out the plaque of the guy who... You know, had the Flavian amphitheater built for him. I mean, you should know this. And she's like, the only thing I remember is how many stairs were in that place and how shitty it looked. And I was like, yeah, that's about right. And then she remembered Constantine's arch, and that was about it.
Wow.
Newman's Own.
That's probably, well, my wife might maybe be tuned into this right now, but fuck it. She probably wouldn't get Caesar. Maybe Caesar. That'd be the idea.
She'd get Newman's Own.
She would definitely get Newman's Own and probably Cobb.
Man.
She would definitely get Iceberg.
Definitely get Iceberg.
Iceberg Wedge. He was a great hitter. I mean, God, that guy was great.
I just couldn't believe it.
I think what's funny is that 46 minutes into it, we've talked about mostly wine and Roman emperors and a little bit of a cunt cave.
Well, we've got to talk about the cunt cave.
Yeah, but see, the wine was like just a tangent off of what we're talking about pairing this with some
About the wine, we didn't get into that the Specs is a great place to go for wine because it changes depending on where you're at. Each store gets it themselves, but you've got either Wine Wednesdays or Tasting Tuesdays. We can go in and they have about 15 to 20 stations of wine.
Those are in Texas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. At the Specs, you just go in there and it's free. You go around, they go to each station, you taste every single wine they got.
And then that's what Jared does. He gets the family loaded up on Tuesday. Take them down to Tasting Tuesday.
I know about myself. Come on now. That's my relaxation time. And you taste right, all the wines. Hell yeah, I do.
I'll have to see if there's one near Houston when I go back.
The main one is in Houston. The one I wish I could still go to is in Houston.
Let me narrow that data set down a little bit. I'm not really talking about Houston proper. More like about Clear Lake, Webster.
Well, you'll find one. You can find one from anywhere in Texas, pretty much. And you can go in there, and each one can kind of do their own thing. They switch between, like I said, Wednesday and Tuesday. But once a month, you can go in there, and they'll set up. You can just go around, you go sign up, get your little paper. It's all free. It doesn't cost anything.
That's cool.
You can buy a glass, or you can bring a glass, or you can just get the little shot glasses there.
Yeah, my wife and I have been talking about trying to find a place like that. So that's cool.
Well, do it. And then you put your notes down next to it, you know what you thought of each one so you can remember, because if you taste 20 wines, you can't remember which one you liked. And then during that day, they all are on special. So you save a few bucks on top of it just buying them that day. And so I'll go in and do that and find, three, four bottles of wine and pick up for, nothing. And then next time you go in, you know which lines you like because you've tried them all. Then you go into the next one, you try 20 different ones again. Every now and then you get a few repeats, but you get a lot of different ones, and that's how I figure out which lines I like without having to go buy a whole bottle of it and wish I didn't buy it.
I mean, we've just been going to the HEB because the HEB that's off of 45 in Clear Lake has got an amazing damn selection of wines, and they're so cheap. Like, there's stuff there, like, for one, that is one I've been trying to find for quite a while. It's really popular. It's called Molly Duker the Boxer. Molly Duker is kind of a hot brand for the past, I'd say, 7 years, maybe. It's been a while. And they just started kind of showing up in Mississippi. But as soon as they hit the shelf, they're gone immediately. I go to HEB, shit ton of the Boxer. I'm like, just buying the shit out of it.
What's nice too is, and mine's had issues with the distributor and getting it actually done, is it would do wine, say the first week of the month. 2 weeks later, it would be beer. We'd go in for a beer tasting with 15 to 20 different beers. So twice a month, you could go in and try 15 to 20 different beers and wines each month and get a discount on it each time you did it.
Wow.
It's freaking great. And it's all free. I mean, it doesn't cost anything. It's just to go in and do it. And you practically get enough of the samples to get a little buzz, too, which is just a little bonus. But it's a good way to grow your stock and try a bunch of stuff you've never had. Like, do I want to spend $12 in the six-pack if I don't know if I like it? Well, you go try it and find out real quick. And that's how I've grown all of my wine fridge was that way.
I see. Well, here it's kind of different. Like the beers, we just raised our limit on alcohol by weight, not by volume, to 10.6%, 10.something%, which basically gets us 90% of the beers that's available in the U.S.
You what now?
The state of Mississippi raised its limit, alcohol by weight limit on beers. It was like
3.2.
It was like 5.2 or 3%, and they basically doubled to like 10.6%, which means we get a lot of stuff in. And what's good about that is the guy that owns a cigar shop in Biloxi that I go to, he's the Miller Coors distributor. That's his main business. So when he gets pretty much all the craft beers, right? But he gets them, he brings them into the private club side and stocks his beer cooler that we can go get our beer out of. So we get to try all kinds of different beers, you know. That's not as cool. Much as y'all get in Texas, because even though we can get a bunch of them, for instance, Dogfish Head, one of my favorites, they won't come to Mississippi because for two reasons. Because we can't bring in all the whole line that they have. We can bring in probably 95% of what they have, but the owner's like, if you can't bring in all of it, we're not coming. And the second thing is, and this is, goes with a bunch of different beer distributors or beer companies or whatever. Like Mississippi, we only have 7 to 8 million people total. Half the state is dry, so you're cutting it down to 3 or 4 million possible beer drinkers. Well, say they could either open here or expand into like Colorado, where Colorado has like 3 times the amount of beer drinkers. Well, they're going to go to Colorado and skip Mississippi because we just don't have the volume. But wines and liquors are different because the way you have to order liquors and wines in Mississippi is you have to order it through the state. So they have a huge liquor warehouse in Jackson, the capital. And that's where all the liquor goes and wines, all everything goes there. And you have to order it through the state. You can't go direct. Yeah. So that's why we can't get a lot of shit. And one of the guys, there's a cigar shop that was in Covington for a while. That's now the Metairie just outside of New Orleans. He used to be a truck driver, or he's still a truck driver, but he used to haul the loads of liquor that would go from out of New Orleans or wherever into Mississippi to the warehouse. Well, the warehouse is kind of like a customs house, so they have to go do inspections and all that stuff. They said they don't, as soon as you pull in, they don't do it. They can lock your truck down for up to a week.
Damn.
His truck is stuck there for about a week until they get around and finally want to do inspections. So now he refuses to haul any kind of liquors into Mississippi now because he loses too much money by doing that.
Heck yeah, that's a waste of your time for your driver.
Right, so it's kind of messed up here, but that's why I mean, I'm so close to New Orleans, I just go over there and get what I want. But, I mean, I have two really good liquor stores near me, so I get most of what I want. One of them is really he samples the business of vineyards over there. So he's really big in the wine. So he stocks a lot of good stuff. So, I mean, it's pretty good. But still, when you go to Texas, you know, you go to the HEB, and you see just some amazing shit that I can't even get. And it's like 35 to 40% less than what's here. That's just insane. So I'll be good.
The HEB that's about, it's maybe 3 minutes from my house. Their supply of beer and wine is ridiculous. I mean, for a grocery store, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, like if you go to New Orleans, just outside New Orleans, the biggest liquor stores over there are inside the big supermarkets, the local supermarket. They'll have an entire side of the store. It's nothing but freaking liquors and wines and whatever. It's just a ton of shit. It's pretty cool. I wish we could do that here, but that'll never happen. Because the Bible Belt is pretty much all of North Mississippi. So, what happened?
The Bible Belt goes into Mississippi?
Yes, most of Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'm Catholic, so we can drink. So, it's okay.
Chaka Khan.
Well, we should get back to the pipe. Because we're about running out of time.
We got 5 minutes, and the wife's calling me already. She's bossing it out.
My pipe already empty.
All right. So fast.
I smoked through that bowl quick. My bowl got hot. But
did it really?
As hot as this got, this tobacco never got harsh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not harsh at all.
No, but I mean, this bowl was burning hot. I mean, it almost hurt my hands. I got it so hot. I had to slow down.
Too fast?
I may have been, but my point is, it never got harsh.
Yeah.
As fast as I smoked it, it stayed smooth and quite tasty the whole way through.
Yeah, Dunhill's good about that. It's rare that I will smoke any Dunhill tobaccos and it gets harsh. I don't know why that is. I have no idea why. But like 965, sometimes I can smoke that when I know I'm going too fast, and it never gets bad on me. Never gets funky or nothing. Yeah. Maybe that's why they're always so popular.
So what were some of the notes you got, Jared? What were you tasting?
Oh, and the notes. I wasn't taking notes. I was just smoking.
Well, what'd you taste, you jackass, moonbeam, fucktard?
Jackass, moonbeam, fucktard, all right. Wow, glad to be back on this show. I don't know. I don't think I missed the last 3 weeks not having one. You know that?
Yeah, you did. You missed my face, which you can't even see right now.
Which is awesome. I mean, let's keep that going. I like the Sig Fade Eagle.
Can. The Eagle talks a lot of shit.
Oh, well. It wasn't, I know you at one point kind of said it's like smoking air. I know you may not have meant total air. I'll let you get to your point, but it always had something, although it was quite light the whole time. I never got hit with anything too heavy. I could see how this would be a good morning smoke. There's enough to it to get some enjoyment, but not enough to overpower you first thing in the morning. At the same time, there's enough there to keep you going in the evening, because here I am at 8 o'clock at night over here, almost 9 o'clock now, and it's still quite tasty. There's a slight sweetness to it, not much. It kind of equates to the same as I got out of the smell spit out of this tin here. It's a little smoky, a little sweet, and it's a little bit of tobacco bite to it, but nothing too much. I enjoyed it. It was pretty good.
What about you, Bull Shark?
To me, like I said, I've been smoking early morning pipe for 10, 11 years now. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like an old friend. But to me, it's nothing special. Like there's nothing. It's kind of one dimensional. But it's easy smoke. You know what I'm saying? Like mainly it's a little bit sweet, a little bit smoky. You know, it's got a little bit of a hay flavor to it. But that's kind of about it. I don't get a whole lot out of it. But it's a nice, easy smoke. It's a dumb smoke. Like you can just pack your pipe and you know you'll be satisfied. You won't be blown away, but it's a nice, easy smoke. And it's light enough for any time of the day, but it's really good in the morning, definitely.
I would 100% agree with that. And I would compare it to kind of like a Cro-Magnon, Romacraft Cro-Magnon. I don't think it's the most overly complex cigar. It's just good, straightforward, and approachable. And you can just smoke it all day, every day, and just be happy as fuck.
Yeah.
You can pay attention to it and really enjoy it, or you can just do something else and smoke it and still be happy. I thought it tasted like, I got a lot of like, it was almost like rye bread. Like bready.
I could see that. Yeah.
Like almost like a rye bread. It was weird. And it wasn't very, I mean, it was smoky, but like nothing compared to like a nightcap or any other, you know, lat bombs that we have. I mean, Jared, you're saying it's like delicately flavored. I mean, not flavored is not necessarily the right word, but it being like very subdued is definitely correct. Like it's very light. It's very approachable. You know, it didn't leave me any funk in my mouth, which is interesting because most pipe tobaccos do. And, you know, it was enjoyable. I mean, is it something that I'm going to give a 5-star rating to? No. But is it something that I will definitely smoke again? Well, fuck yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, this is a good pipe. I mean, a good bowl for me or a good pipe tobacco. I never smoke. I mean, most of my pipe smoking, which is limited, but when it is, it's usually on the show or in the evenings because I'll usually smoke cigars during the day. I could easily see myself packing a bowl of this during the day and enjoying it because I know it won't fuck up any other cigar that I smoke throughout the day.
Yeah, or any other bowl of tobacco.
Exactly.
But your thing about the rye bread, that's perfect because it does have that breadiness to it, like that hay quality I was talking about. It's almost like a toasty, bready kind of a thing, but there's like a tanginess to it too.
There is
a slight tanginess. So the rye bread is one of my absolute favorite breads too. So rye bread is a perfect way to describe that. I think.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Tangy is a good word. I get that tanginess would describe some of the little hints I got out of it there.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming. It's just a little hint, let you know it's there. But that's all you need, really.
Just a little. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So
we've got five pins here to give away, and what we'll do is we'll wait for everyone. Email me Logan@cigarfederation.com, Dunhill Early Morning Pipe in the subject line, and just
I'll hold it people, up for sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, man.
Pretend there's five of these.
There is, which is interesting. Five. Right. Email me full name, address, and the body. Whenever you're watching this, doesn't matter if it's 2 weeks from now or six months from now, all these tins will be given away. So go ahead and email me, because I'm not going to tell you what show, but I still have other tins from other shows on one show remaining still. I'm not going to tell you which one so I don't get blown up. And then also include your date of birth to verify that you are of legal smoking age in your local jurisdiction and allowed by law. Thank you, Legal Birdseed. So,
What's the date code on yours?
These are, let me see, January, February, March, April.
We talked about it before we came on the air, so I figured let's bring that up now.
Yeah, they're May 2nd of 2015.
Cool.
So is yours CB025E27?
Mine is
C.
Okay. De nada.
I'm getting ready for Dominican.
Dude, I know, man. I'm going to be like, yeah. I've never been. It's going to be sweet. And I've never been to the Dominican. I've been to a lot of countries, but I've never been to the Dominican.
When you go
there, it takes fucking forever to get there.
No.
Yes, it does. From Texas, you got to fly to fucking Miami, and then it's another 3 hours.
I hate going through Miami, dude.
I hate going through Miami too, but that's the only American hub that'll service. But, anyways, so let's start with the Bull Shark. Bull Shark, on a scale of 1 to 5, with the rating system, what would you give this?
Man, if you asked me about 5 years ago, I would say a definite 4. But now I have to say it's a 3. Not because it's changed. It's still a great tobacco. Still love it. Still a staple of mine. But now there's so many, you know, copies of it out there, and one or two that I actually think are a better rendition of it. You know,
really,
GLP's Chelsea Morning.
Yeah,
great stuff. You know, and there's actually a McClellan knockoff called AM Pipe that, to me, it's a lot like it. I mean, it's really close, but it has a little bit more to it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But still, I mean, I always have it around. It'll always be around on my thing. So I just say a 3 for now, but it was once a 4 for sure.
I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going to let Moonbeam go last, but I'm going to buck the trend, and I would actually make this a 4.5.
No problem with that at all.
Which is pretty lofty, because I'm usually pretty negative. The reason why is, and that's a keep between a keep and rotation and stock up, because if you're looking for an approachable English blend, it's not going to blow you out of the water if you're new to pipe tobacco, or you're a cigar smoker and you don't want to just completely nuke your fucking palate on a bowl and fuck up every other cigar you smoke the rest of the day, then this is a good, clean, crisp, not overly complex, but very straightforward, approachable, and enjoyable pipe tobacco that has just enough to keep you interested. 4.5.
Good point. Good point. It's definitely a good starter English for sure.
It is. Moonbeam.
Moonbeam. I'm going between y'all there. I haven't had any other, like Ben was talking about, to compare it to, but I put this as a 4 because this is definitely a keep in rotation. It's so easy to put in at any time you're willing to smoke a pipe. I'm going to give it a 4. It's staying in the rotation.
I feel like a total piece of shit now giving it a 3.
No. I thought you both were going to give it like 3s or 2s.
No, never a 2, dude. 3 to me, I was kind of like, I was kind of like, man, a 3, that's kind of low, man.
But do you smoke the Orlik stuff, right? Is that better or worse than this?
Which Orlik?
Like the Orlik version of Early Morning Pipe when they made it, before it was taken over by Scandinavian Tobacco. That was like 2012-ish or 2011-ish. I've got one tin of it. I'm just afraid.
Oh, you mean the original Early Morning Pipe compared to this one?
Well, not when it was made by Murray's, but when it came back by when Orlik did it. And I think they stopped making it, and now it's made by who is this? Who's it made by now? Isn't it Scandinavian Tobacco?
Yeah, I think it was.
Relaine?
No. Was it Lodicey? Shit. Fuck.
It's not Cornell and Deal.
No. It's... Fuck, I thought it was on the back. Made in Denmark.
It says made... But it's not Orlik, because Orlik has that very distinct code that's on all their tins.
Yeah, it's not. I think... I can't remember who makes it. It's Lodicey, isn't it?
No, man. That's Cornell and Deal.
No. I know. I thought they actually had a hand in this too, though, right?
This is Scandinavian.
Well, I know, manufactured by Scandinavian, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought.
So, do they have a factory?
I thought somebody blended it for them. You know what? That's a question we should. That'll come up in our future show we have on Stephen from Dunhill.
We need to make that happen.
Well, we can arrange that in February.
We can probably make that happen.
Oh, we'll make it happen.
We'll make that happen.
Yeah. Definitely. God, maybe 3.5.
3.5? You're changing? You're feeling like a dub-dub? Changing it up?
Because, like, okay, so 4 is keep it in your rotation. Well, it is always in my rotation, so it would be a 4. But to me, a 4 is almost like you stockpile and age some, and 5 is like holy grail. Like
that's like stock up.
No, 5 is stock up.
The mason jars out.
Yeah, 5 is stock up. 4 is keep in rotation, and 3 is only when it's on sale.
No, then I have to rate it a 4 then.
There you go.
I mean, because it by that criteria, it's a 4.
Look at you coming, digging yourself out of that 3. Very well done, sir.
Well, it's just, I always have it. I don't smoke it as much as I did because... You know, there's other little things that are close to that same style that I've been smoking lately. But, yeah, it's always going to be in my rotation. It's always going to be here with me, always. I'll never be without a 10.
There's a stellar buy it no matter what, which would basically be if you just called it a 6, which isn't on the scale, but that would be like, I don't care what I got to pay for it.
Well, there's only like one tobacco that I've got, right? Penzance?
I've got that, yeah.
Penzance.
Yeah, but I haven't been able to find any this year.
I got 4 motherfucking bags, son.
Sell me a bag.
I will, but I'm going to sell it to you at not best friend prices. No, I'm kidding, man.
I don't give a shit.
Here's what we'll do is I actually got it. It was actually, believe it or not, was $44 for an 8-ounce bag, but that was at a B&M in Massachusetts.
That's still a good price.
That's a great price.
Yeah.
That's a great price for it. Considering it's B&M and the taxes on tobacco in Massachusetts are ridiculous. But I'll bring you a bag down to the Dominican, and then you just bring me some cigars that are worthy in trade, and we'll call it square.
Okay.
But you want to do Penzance next week on the show? Do you have any?
Do I have any? Yeah, I got some.
Okay, well, you do. Okay, Jared?
I think I got some back there.
All right. Well, confirm that and let me know.
You want to do Penzance while you're not here?
What do you mean I'm not here?
Are you going to be gone?
Oh, shit. Yeah, we'll do it the next week.
Yeah, you dumbass.
Yeah, I'll do it the next week. I'm going to give you guys back up. You know what you're going to end up doing?
What?
Boone Farm.
We can. Hey, I'll give a shit.
Why don't you guys do some Boone's Farm? Tell me which Boone's Farm you want to do next week, and we'll schedule that.
We can do that in freaking Boswell, Sweet and Mild.
Boswell. All right,
done. That's what you guys are doing, Boswell.
That's some good shit. You'd like that, dude.
Oh, shit, I doubt it.
Good stuff.
Yes, you would.
Good stuff.
It's not a big, soggy, nasty aromatic. It's a well-quality, done aromatic. And it's not real heavy aromatic. It's delicious.
I mean, I have not found a single aromatic that I like.
Have you tried any Boswells?
No, I've not smoked Boswell.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll bring some of that down. I'll bring you a couple bags so you can try it out. And
then we need to coordinate all that pipe tobacco I have. You need to coordinate with me so I can bring you down all the shit that you want to try.
Okay. Well, I'll throw the Pelican. Don't you have
Pelican? Butcher Pelican?
Yeah.
I got some from like 2012, I think. Wow. Or 11. I got it from the dead guy. God rest his soul.
Yeah, because you can't find that shit anywhere.
I got some. Not much, but I got some.
Well, then save it. We'll find some more.
Okay. Well, cool. All right. Well, with that, any parting words, Bull Shark or Moonbeam?
No.
Motherfucking right. Moonbeam.
Well, I've got a motherfucking Moonbeam. So I've got a couple of winners here, the Good Faithfuls. We got Shooter. We got Jeff Madre. And we got Steve. So we've still got 2 10s open for grabs. So don't be a bitch. Email me. Get your 10. With that, I won't be here next week. Bull Shark and Moonbeam will be smoking some Boone's Farm down on the bayou.
That's
and
right.
With that, we're fucking out. Later, bitches.
Peace.
Bulldogs.